And since it looked like everybody raised their hand, praise God, since he was patient with us, praise God, we ought to be patient with other folk. Amen. You see what I mean by that? We ought not to be too quick, praise God, to look down our sanctified noses at nobody, praise God. We are not to be too quick to judge somebody. We are not to be too quick to ridicule somebody. We are not to be too quick to put somebody down, because the last time I checked, we all are nothing but sinners saved by grace, praise God. And next time you get ready to criticize somebody, I'm gonna give you a little exercise that you can do. Charlie, you don't mind coming up here. Amen. The next time you get ready to criticize somebody, praise God, before you walk up and criticize them, I want you to go walk up and put your arms around him and just tell him, say, you know something? God loves you. Amen. And if you do that, praise God, let me tell you something. You're gonna make everything all right. You're gonna make that person's day all right. But it amazes me, praise God, that God has been so patient with us. Amen. Y'all don't want me to get out here and tell it. Praise God. If he had come while we were out on that dance floor, praise God, while we were drunk in our own stupor, praise God, if he had come while we were caught in some compromising position, praise God. But God was so great, and he was so patient, he allowed us to come on to our sense, praise God, and to go ahead and give our life to him. I'm talking about a God who is patient. And because he is patient, praise God, we ought to also be patient, amen, and dealing with other folk. Oh yeah, I know I'm on it today, amen. So we find that he is a wonder of wonder, and every wonder about him is true. But praise God, let me go ahead to my second point. Amen. I don't want the musician, don't y'all go too far, because I said I wasn't gonna be too long. You see, the second point is that he is a wonderful savior.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
This morning, if you will, I would that you turn with me to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 2, the second chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Amen. And we are grateful. The choir is showing off yesterday, I tell you the truth. We still got a little more room for choir members. Now, I don't know what would happen if all the members could be here at the same time. We probably, choir, you might have to stay in the choir stand. I don't know. Amen. Because we have members working, they come in shifts now. But but we thank God, amen, that we do, that the Lord is blessing. And I just thank God for the choir. And let me say to every person who has a good voice, now, don't wait till you get old and lose your voice and then you want to join the choir. After you lost your voice, you want to join the choir and sing all the solos, get mad because they won't let you. But while your voice is still young and crisp or whatever, why don't you come use that talent? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I know that's right. But, you know, if you don't use it, you can be young and lose it. Are you with me here? And you can be old and lose it, too. And so that's the reason I'm telling you, come on and do it right now so you won't lose it. even when you get old, you still be able to sing like an angel. Amen. All right. Well, let's move to so much for that. In beginning at verse 1, I'm going to read a few verses here, verses 1 through perhaps 11. And second chapter of the Gospel of St. John said, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there was set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifest his glory, and the disciples believed in him. Our subject and our emphasis is on verse number 10. And he said to him, every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. And I want to talk for a few minutes from the subject, saving the best for last. Saving the best for last. He said every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. And so for a little while, I want to talk about saving the best for last. Let me begin by saying that the changing of water to wine was the first miracle that Jesus performed. Now, this miracle demonstrated his purpose for coming to the earth, which was to reveal the creative power of God. Because he had the power to create and produce what was needed to meet man's need. He was on a mission to save the world, the greatest mission in the history of humankind. And yet, he took time to attend a wedding and take part in its festivities. And so the text reveals that Jesus honored this marriage feast, and he demonstrated his approval and honor in two ways. First, by attending the marriage, and secondly, by meeting the urgent need of the bridegroom. For here we see that he graced and blessed the marriage because he was called to the marriage. In other words, he has to be genuinely invited into the marriage before he can bless it. And in the same way, if Jesus is going to bless your situation or bless your life, we must invite him in. And that's why he says in Revelation 3 and 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up, I'll come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. The Bible also says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, he has to be invited in order to bless us. If you want your marriage to be blessed, then you ought to invite Jesus in and stop trying to handle it yourself. If you want your life to, yes, Lord, blessed, you ought to invite Jesus into your life and let him take control of your life, and you will be blessed. And so Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with the disciples, were also at this wedding feast. But now there's no mention of Joseph. I'm talking about Jesus' stepfather, because it is thought by most commentators that he had already died. And therefore, Jesus, being the oldest child, he stayed home to take care of the family until the other children were old enough to go out on their own. And so Jesus attended the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And in those times, marriage was a joyful and a happy time. It was a festive occasion. It was one of the largest social events in the community. And unlike the wedding of our day, the wedding in Jesus' time wasn't just a little 20-minute ceremony like we have. Are you with me? But the ceremony usually took place late in the evening on Wednesday if the bride was a virgin, or on Thursday if the bride was a widower after the feast. Then there was an escort of the couple through the streets to their homes. Now this procession was like a noisy parade as they made their way to the groom's house with entertainment that would go on for at least the whole week. And even though Jesus, the Bible tells us, was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, he was also a man who went to social events, and he enjoyed healthy conversation and laughter and good food. But today some of us are so religious that we've become rigid, but not Jesus. Now often the whole town was invited to these wedding feasts, and everybody would come because it was considered an insult to refuse an invitation to a wedding. And so to accommodate the many guests, careful planning was needed. And so it was in the midst of this joyous social affair that there arose the possibility of a great embarrassment. They ran out of wine. My brothers and sisters, this was a serious matter because it broke the strong, unwritten laws of hospitality. Without wine, there was no joy. But now, the importance of wine, yes, Lord, in the Middle East must always be remembered, because good germ-free water was scarce and was used only when necessary. And moreover, but Jeremiah, they didn't have, like we have today, Coca-Cola and Sprite on ice. They didn't have tea and lemon or coffee with one equal of sugar and one cream. All they had was water or wine. And so in the midst of this joyous occasion, there was a critical need, a predicament that was going to affect everyone involved, because the joyful spirit of the guests would be dampened, and the couple was to be shamed and humiliated and become the object of jokes among some folk. My brothers and sisters, this was a desperate moment that many times take folk over the edge. They ran out of wine. But let me ask you this morning, are you out of something that you desperately need? Is your life on empty? Have you run out of hope, joy, or peace? Well, what or whom are you turning to for help? My brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that we can turn to Jesus in times of desperation, and he can and he will help us if we allow him to. Well, why is this? Well, it's because the text shows that we can turn to Jesus in times of desperation, because first of all, Jesus is reliable. And so in this moment of desperation, Mary approached Jesus with this matter of running out of wine. Now, she didn't ask explicitly for a miracle, but her words appeared to be looking for nothing else. In other words, she expected Jesus to do something.